welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of scripture in Hebrews. This is Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 11, it says, the book of Hebrews is so great, you know, if you haven't ever read it or gotten into it, it's a beautiful way. It's almost like you think of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Covenant. The book of Hebrews is almost like a stitching that puts them together and shows you how the relevance of the Old Covenant set up the New Covenant, and just how the pattern of the Old Covenant is fulfilled in the New. So this is just a wonderful book, and this is just one of those passages that addresses that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. This is so powerful. It is so definite, you know, as you look at what Jesus did for us and the sacrifice for our sins. We see here this theme pulling through. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one offering, there is no longer an offering for sin. It's been done. It's been completed. There are no more sin offerings. And, you know, you could think, yeah, praise God, that's wonderful, that's true, and it's good, no more sin offerings. But there is something here we got to understand. We can understand this, we can understand the theology of this. But there's something about us, I don't know, us human beings, that wants to do something. There is something about us as human beings that, as an unbeliever, we have to surrender and say, okay, I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus. I receive him as my Savior. Humble myself as a child and realize that I need Jesus. But as believers, we got to realize that too. We can fall into this trap. The title of my message this morning is No More Sin Offering. It's been done. We love God. We love Jesus. Wonderful getting in the presence of God, experiencing his love, his grace, his forgiveness. But you know, we miss it. Sometimes we fall short. We feel guilty. We feel ashamed. And sometimes we can step into works, and we don't even mean it. We don't even intend to do it. But there's only one offering for sin, and it's been done. There's a couple thoughts that I want to get across this morning as it relates to no more sin offerings. We get it. We understand the logic of it. But that truth, when that truth gets settled into your heart, it will be the traction for you spiritually to grow and go places in God. Because there's no more sin offerings. None. It has been completely, totally done in Christ. Two thoughts. First one is this. Only one sin offering, the blood of Jesus Christ. Here it is. We're just continuing to read from the two verses that we had already read. Hebrews 12, 19 through 23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now I'll just tell off on myself here as it relates to this truth. This has been one of those things that as a believer that has probably tripped me up more than anything. Maybe I make a promise to God. I'm going to read a chapter a day, Lord. 4 weeks later, haven't read a single chapter. Okay, Lord, I'm going to read 30 chapters today. I'm going to get caught up. I'm going to do this. I haven't been even talking to God. Okay, God, I'm going to have a 2-hour prayer session. I'm going to give a big offering today. What's your motivation to get your heart right with God again? Sin offerings. Do you know your devotion time? I'm just telling on me, but my devotion time at times, when I'm trying to do stuff to get my heart right back with God again. There is no more offering for sin. Reading my Bible is not what makes me right with God. Reading my Bible isn't what gives me boldness to enter into the holiest. Nope. Giving an offering isn't what cleanses my heart. One offering forever has been given. All I can do is I can go back to the offering. My boldness is to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It's a new and it's a living way. My devotion time, those things that I'm trying to do for God, man, I've tried to do that on top of a guilty conscience, trying to get my conscience right again. Do you know what that'll do? That'll create spiritual burnout. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to do the right thing. And all I really want is just fellowship with God. I just want to be talking, hanging. There's only one offering for sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's what I'm talking about as far as really beginning to grow. Because as we're living for God, you know, we're trying to follow after him. We're trying to obey him. We're trying to do the things that he's called us to do. But there's something that you got to get really good at. And that is putting your confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. Putting your confidence in the grace of God. Because it's the only thing that can cleanse you. It's the only offering that there is for sin. You know, you've probably heard the little illustration of Pavlov's dogs, where this guy, Pavlov, I don't know, the scientist or whatever, he conducted an experiment where he rang the bell for his dogs, and his dogs would come, and then he'd give them a piece of meat. And he did this, you know, ring the bell, give the dogs meat, ring the bell, give the dogs meat. He did this repeatedly. And then pretty soon, all he'd have to do was just ring the bell, and he noticed that his dogs would start salivating. Because bell equals meat. You condition. Now listen to what I'm saying. Again, I'm talking to things where I've come from. Devotion time can become a bell for condemnation. Devotion time. Got to get right back. Oh, sorry, I got to get back right with God. Devotion time. Devotion time is supposed to be green pastures and still waters. It's that time where you're hanging out with God. It's a time where you're enjoying his presence. Ah, devotion time. Free time. Time away with God. No condemnation time. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. Zero. Not even a little. That's him. There's boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. We love God. We're born of God. We want to live for God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And yet, whether you're a baby in the Lord or whether you've been walking with the Lord for 50 years, your conscience is cleansed the same way. The one offering. You know, sometimes in the world we live in, you're in a company for so long or you're in a group for so long and you kind of build up political capital and you can kind of get away with things and do things and all this kind of stuff. Not with God. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, he is not a respecter of persons. No one. There's only one way back to a clear conscience. No matter where you are on the growth scale, it's the blood of Jesus. And there's something about getting conditioned. No matter what's going on, no matter where I'm at, the blood. Am I not feeling, is something off with my walk with the Lord? The blood. There's only one offering that gets that right. There was a great Old Testament example here where the people had murmured against God and against Moses. And this is back, Numbers chapter 21. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he might take away the serpents from us." There was a bunch of serpents as a result of the sin. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of bronze, put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked at the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, with a steady, absorbing gaze, he lived. That's interesting. You've got somebody who's bitten by a snake. Can you imagine what you'd feel like? Or maybe even some of the symptoms you'd be feeling, you know, of being bitten by a poisonous snake. The physical pain, maybe the emotional, mental stuff that's going on, venom, I don't know how that all that works. But you got stuff going on. And you just got one instruction, one. Look at the bronze serpent. There's chaos. There's commotion. There's noise. There's snakes. You're looking at a bronze serpent, attentively, expectantly, a steady, absorbing gaze. You're looking past the noise, and you're looking on to the serpent. You're looking on to that bronze serpent. There's a trust. There's a hope. But it's not just, it's a hope with a promise, isn't it? Everyone who looks at this shall live. So you're looking by faith according to a promise. You're looking past all the junk going on around, and you're just looking at that because there's a promise there. There's a promise. Jesus later, and he was on the earth, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, referring back to the story, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so we know that as believers. Jesus was lifted up. And there was a point in time where we had to to the cross and say, okay, Lord, this is it. As a sinner, say, I need you. You're lifted up. I'm looking to you, my trust in you. And you said, whoever believes in you will not perish but have everlasting life. And we got saved. We got born again. But even as believers, we don't stop looking unto Jesus. We continue looking unto Jesus, laying aside the weights and the sins, looking unto Jesus. How do we make that look today as believers? What does the scripture say as far as our steady gaze? If we say we have, now this is, again, this is where something's not right in my heart. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That would be another way of saying hypocrisy. You're saying one thing, doing another. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Praise God. This right here is the heart of our gaze when we're experiencing broken fellowship with God. You'll notice what it does. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that do? It restores the fellowship that we claim to have had in the first place. It restores it back to God. What am I doing? I'm confessing. I'm simply saying, Lord, I said it. I did it. It was wrong. And I receive your forgiveness. I receive your cleansing. Now, when you think of that, it is in some ways similar to, it's in some ways similar to this. When you're confessing your sins, when you're looking at that, let me tell you something. Whatever is bothering your conscience, whatever is bothering my conscience, we all have different situations. We all have different things that could knock us out of fellowship with God. But all those things have one thing in common. They were laid upon him. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. There's nothing that you're beating yourself up over today that wasn't laid upon him. That blood was shed. One offering for sin. There's only one offering for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. Think of that. Think of the stuff you have to look past too. Your conscience is fighting you. Your conscience is saying, yeah, how many times have you confessed this one? A little book called Prayers That Avail Much. This is a little book we recommend at Door of Life. It's just a powerful little book of prayers, templates, things that can kind of help you pray in different aspects and different things like that. This is just one of those prayers on receiving forgiveness, just a little excerpt from it. She says, Father, I count myself blessed. How happy I am. I get a fresh start. My slate's wiped clean. I count myself blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied. You, Father, are holding nothing against me. You're not holding anything back from me. Sometimes we think we have to pay for our sin that way too. Oh, I can't do that. I forfeited that. No. No. You're not paying for your sin through lost opportunity. He's holding nothing against you. Nothing against you. When I keep it all inside, my bones turn to powder and my words become day-long groans. The pressure never lets up. All the juices of my life dry up. I let it all out. I am saying once and for all that I'm making a clean breast of my failures to you, Lord. In the face of this feeling of guilt and unworthiness, I receive my forgiveness. The pressure is gone, my guilt dissolved, my sin disappeared. I am blessed, for you have forgiven my transgressions. You have covered my sins. I'm blessed, for you will never count my sins against me. You're going to kind of feel like that snake-bitten person in the wilderness looking at the bronze serpent in doing this at times. You're going to have to get past your feelings. You're going to have to get past people's accusations. You're going to have to get past some things and look unto the one offering for sin. if you don't do this, you're going to try to do a bunch of other spiritual stuff and it won't work. Sin offering. But I'm doing this, that, and the other. Sin offering. Talking about me. And you can learn and you can grow and you can actually get more cynical and critical and knowledgeable. And the thing that's bothering you is just that simple thing. Whether you're a babe in the Lord, walked the Lord for 50 years, same thing. You're going to get good at one thing. Man, Lord, you're it. Like we're talking about Pavlov's dogs. There's a good conditioning that happens here after a while. Yeah, okay, sin, the blood. Something's not right. Not four chapters of Scripture, the blood. Not 5 hours, you know, trying to evangelize or do something spiritual for God, the blood. I'm conditioned to the blood. When the bell of guilt and shame goes off, the blood. I'm coming back to the blood. There's only one offering for sin. I can't make any offering. I can't do any sacrifices for sin. All I can do, what does that force me to do? It forces me to bring it back to the love of God. This big spiritual walk is grounded in His love for me. Again, a day old in the Lord, 50 years in the Lord. Same grace, same offering, same forgiveness. What happens? You get rooted and grounded in love, His love for you. It's not like, oh yeah, I remember the love of God and all that. No. The love of God is something your roots grow deeper and deeper and deeper. I love the old hymn that says, you know, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. You know, a person who's lived for God for a while, you've proven something. There is something. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. There is something that is so powerful about that. You know, religion has played on man's guilt and shame. There was something, you know, back in the day called indulgences, where people would pay money to try to get forgiveness of sins and all that kind of stuff, where you could just play on somebody's guilt. But then there's cheerful giving, that you're not giving to pay for anything. You're giving out of a heart for gratitude because your sins have been paid for. You're giving from a place of worship and honor for what God has done for you. Oh, I'm just saying, this is one of those things that when it comes to living for God, we've got to be able to look. We've got to be able to look at the Savior. A steady, absorbing gaze. And I love how that prayer reads. I'm forgiven in the face of sin and shame, in the face of a sense of unworthiness. I put my gaze on the offering, the blood of Jesus Christ. That can cleanse my conscience from dead works. Why? To serve the living God. To get back up. To serve the living God. You can think of it, think of a car race. You know, those racers are going around, but they got to have a pit stop. And they're not there for a long time. In fact, they're there for a very short time. Why? So they can get back in the race. I don't hang out here for days. No. The more mature I get, the shorter my pit stop. The more I have faith in His faithfulness to forgive me and cleanse me, to what? Get back in the race, to serve the living God. Conditioned. I'm just saying that because I've fallen down and I've stayed down way too long sometimes. I've tried to spiritually work my way back up. You can't do that. My boldness is by the blood. The boldness is by the blood. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you've been knocked down, you don't have to stay down. You can get back up. In fact, that's what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. Get back up. Get back up. Don't stay down. You can get back up. You know, when Jesus prayed for Peter, he didn't pray that he wouldn't fail. He knew that he was going to fail. But he said, but I'm praying that when you return, when your faith is returned, you return to your faith, that you're going to refresh your brothers also. You're going to help them too. That you won't turn loose of your faith. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't let go of your faith. I won't let go of you. Yes. Just don't let go of your faith. Receive your forgiveness. I'm not letting go of you. You get back up. Amen. You get back up. You get back up. I will never let go of you. You just hold on to my grace. you hold on to me, you're going to get back up because you're going to find that I am faithful and I'm faithful to my own sacrifice. Nothing holding us down, nothing that's keeping us down that wasn't laid upon him. That's an important thing to understand. So thought number one, there's only one sacrifice for sin. It's the blood of Jesus. Thought number two, sacrifices to grow spiritually are not sin offerings. If you're going to grow spiritually, you are going to sacrifice. There is sacrifice. You absolutely will sacrifice. There will be things you want to do and you can't do it. And you can't do what you want to do. If you're going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, there will be sacrifices. There will be sacrifices of your time. You'd rather do other things, but you know you've got to sow to the Spirit. It's a sacrifice to sow to the Spirit. And there's benefits and it's powerful. But it's not a sin offering. Sacrifices to grow spiritually are not sin offerings. So there's this interesting juxtaposition of two ideas put right together in one verse. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Two thoughts, one offering that did two things. Perfected forever is past tense. Do you know you've been perfected forever? When you were born again, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away, behold, all has become new. That's not just a happy thought to make you feel better about yourself. That new creation, there's some substance that the scripture goes on to say about that new creation. It was, Paul says, he was created in righteousness and true holiness. That new creation stands blameless and above reproach in the sight of God Almighty. On our best day, we can't even come close to that. God did something in our spirit. That's when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus back in that passage, John 3:16. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you got to do better. He said, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. So when you think of yourself in that way, your mind can only tilt and say one thing, grace, love. I am truly saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. And that's where we go on to say, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Talking about the first Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign through one, Jesus Christ. We have to embrace our righteousness as a gift. It's different from our spiritual maturity. He is perfected forever. That's the gift of righteousness. That's the gift of who I am in Christ. When God looks at me, he sees the new creation. He sees the child of God. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. It's right. It's fitting. It's appropriate. We're born again. We're children of God right now. He has perfected forever those who are being, present tense, sanctified. Sanctification is a process. And in that process, there is growth. There is transformation. There is sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I don't offer my body as a sin offering. Can't do that. I offer my body to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. My offering my body is part of a sanctifying process. But I've been perfected forever already in my spirit. You're a child of God. There's a reason you're going to heaven when you die, not because of humility that you may think you have. A real, tangible, spiritual work has been done in your heart. And you're righteous before God. Your spirit is righteous before God. Your mind is being transformed to catch up here for what's happened in here. But you are a child of God right now. You've been perfected, and you're being sanctified. Those two powerful thoughts work together. And this is the two powerful thoughts we've got to keep distinct from each other. Because if we conflate them and become the same thing, that's when we can get knocked down and stay down and try to work our way back up and try to get sanctified back into fellowship with God. Can't do that. Don't care how long, how little or how long you've been walking with God. There's only one way. There's one new and living way. It's the blood of Jesus. Regardless of how much Bible you know or you don't know. No matter how much God has used you or hasn't used you, it's one way. I can be more sanctified next year than I am this year, but I can't be more righteous next year than I am this year. I can be more godly next year than I am this year, but I can't be more righteous. You know, Paul told Timothy to pursue them both. He said, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. But he said, pursue them. What? They're distinct from each other. You're going to pursue righteousness in a way that you get a revelation of righteousness, understand your righteousness, and be able to walk in the righteousness that God has given you. Godliness is going to be when God begins to deal with you and prompt you and deal with you to cut some stuff out and to sow to the Spirit and do some things, and it's going to produce a godliness, and there's profitability in godliness that'll bless your life, but it's not righteousness. I can grow up, my godliness will change, and as I'm getting sanctified, be more godly. But my righteousness is the same. It's a gift. I got to keep that separate in my heart. There is sacrifices for spiritual growth, but I can make no sacrifice for my sin. There's no more sacrifice for sin. And this gets tricky sometimes. Again, I'm just sharing about me today. Because you experience things in the Spirit. You experience freedom. You experience the Word of God, the power of God. You experience what it's like to get revelation by the Spirit of God. And the satisfaction of doing something God told you to do. And the freedom of walking in the Spirit. And that's good. And we were created for that. We like that. And when something happens or knocks you down, your natural inclination is, I want to get back to that place. What did you do to get there? You were walking in the Spirit. You were making decisions. You were making sacrifices. You were going after things. And you're trying to, you got that guilty conscience, and you want to get back to that place of life and peace. That comes from being spiritually minded. It's like, I just want to get back to this place. I want to be the place of, what is it? Fellowship with God. If we say we have fellowship with God, but we're walking in darkness, and we know when we're doing that. Again, this is not condemnation. This is just your own heart check between you and God. But when we know we're not doing that, there's nothing I can do for God. There's nothing I can give to Him. There's no offering. There's no financial thing. There's only one thing. There's only one offering for sin. Again, no matter where I'm on the spiritual growth chart, means nothing. I confess it, and I receive forgiveness and cleansing. I want to get back to these places of walking with God. You're going to come through the blood. There's boldness by the blood. What does that blood do? It cleanses your conscience to serve the living God. Because when you're walking with God and you're reading His Word and you're doing those things, you're doing it from a place of fellowship. I mean, when you're doing it right and you're getting things and it's good and you're there's dialogue there. It's like there's dialogue, there's stuff that's going on in your own heart between you and God. It's not that you're just praying. You're praying and you're hearing and you're doing some things, and then the Spirit of God will tell you something about that, or he might even give you a joke over here while you're doing something to lighten things up. There's fellowship. There's stuff going on there. It's the fellowship that you really want. It's cool that you could do all that stuff, you know, that you're learning and growing in the knowledge of God, that you're getting free from stuff. You mean, you know, the law of the Spirit of life makes me free from the law of sin, and death. It's exciting when by the Spirit I put to death something that had bondage and hold over me, and I'm free from it. Praise God. And maybe you get free from it, and that thing comes back, and that's the thing that trips you up. You think, oh, I'm so ashamed. Pavlov's dogs. Little bell goes off. Shame? Okay, what does that mean? Devotion time, got to do this. No. One offering for sin. Shame? There's only one offering for that. There's nothing I can do. I can't offer myself a living sacrifice for the forgiveness of my sin. I can't offer myself a living sacrifice so that I feel right with God again. No, there's only one thing I can do. I can look at the pole. I can look steadfast and gaze and say, in the face of my sense of unworthiness, I receive forgiveness and cleansing from my unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, I receive it, Father God, and I thank you for it. I don't put my confidence in the flesh. I don't put my confidence in anything that I've done for God. I put my confidence in one thing. I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness that's my own, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ from beginning to end. This is what will help keep you growing spiritually. It's not getting a hold of this that can sometimes stunt our growth spiritually or burn us out spiritually. As we're trying to put good spiritual things in the place of what only the blood can do. There's no more offering for sin. But I'll tell you what, when your heart's right by the blood and you do all that stuff, it's powerful. It's wonderful. It's what Jesus called the abundant life. You just can't substitute it for what only the blood can do. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus does not cleanse my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood does that. You got to let the blood do what the blood does, and the law of the Spirit of life do what the law of the Spirit of life does. It's important to keep these things distinct. He's perfected forever. You're born again. Those who are being sanctified. Don't confuse your spiritual growth process with getting your heart back right with God. If you fall, that's just the blood. That's just the blood. That's it. Lord, I'm coming back by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm coming back. I'm just doing what I can do. I don't care how many times it is. Sometimes you hit this point in a message and then people get all worried and feel like they have to referee the grace of God and cheap grace and all that kind of stuff. And let me make a few observations. Let me tell you about a few observations that I made. People that are hung up about cheap grace many times are projecting their own frustration. People who are really walking with God and who are intimately in the middle of the mercy and the grace of God aren't throwing flags. I've just noticed that. The character of people. Just make some observations. When you walk in the Spirit genuinely, I don't want to talk about drama and looking the part and all that. I'm talking when you genuinely walk in the Spirit, something's genuinely going to happen. You're going to genuinely bear the fruit of the Spirit. There's going to be love. There's going to be joy. There's going to be peace, goodness, kindness, meekness, self-control. That's the fruit. That's the evidence. Good fruit. That character will come out of a person. And I've just found that critical flag-throwing isn't from people who are genuinely walking in the Spirit. Can people pervert the grace of God and do crazy things? Yeah. Has there been crazy doctrines? Certainly there has been. I'm not playing dumb here. But I'm saying your heart. I have come back. This is what I'd like to say. The grace of God will stay with you. You overcome being sanctified. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. God's patience doesn't run out with you when brother or sister so-and-so's patience runs out with you. His mercies are new every morning. He's the one who died on the cross for your sins. He's the one who's staying with you. He just wants you to stay with him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise God. I'll tell you what, you come back. This isn't something where you're trying to enable sin. Because a person who's, you want that fellowship. You want fellowship with God again. This isn't about what I can sin and get away with. I mean, we can all even all play those games as Christians or believers. We probably all have at some point in time, just playing and flirting with sins and flirting with lies. And it's like, I want God. I want fellowship. I want the real thing. I want Him. You know, those are a work of the Holy Spirit that He'll do between you and not brother or sister, sister so-and-so. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There are some of these intimate things that you're working through in your own life and where God proves Himself and you know Him and you want Him. But you've come to that conclusion, not because somebody shamed you into it, because you're walking with God and you're experiencing your own conscience and your own working through your conscience issues yourself, and God proves Himself to be real through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about this morning. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk, not solid food. But he goes on to say, this is how you know. Everyone who partakes in milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. That's what I'm talking about, those conscience issues. When you're unskillful in the word of righteousness, you stay down for a long time after you sin. Not, does he love me? Does he not love me? What's going on? But when you begin to get skillful in the word of righteousness, you rise up in righteousness. No matter what you've done, said, who's done, or said what, I am still righteous in God. You get skillful in that word of righteousness. It's like I've stayed down for 3 months, and it's like, oh yeah, this is by grace through faith. What's going on here? Well, it was a sinner, he loved me. Come on, Ed, let's get back with it. Next time, 2 months, 1 month, a week, a day. I'm conditioned. I'm getting skillful. I'm not staying down to prove to anybody how humble. I don't care about any of that spirituality junk or contests. It's between me and God. And I'm getting back up because I believe in that sacrifice. I'm getting skillful in the word. My senses have been exercised. You know, you don't get it the first time. You might hear it preached. But when it's your stuff and your life and your things and the narrative's coming against your head, you know, you're learning. Your senses, yeah, even my stuff. Okay, this is really true for me too. You know, you don't always get that. You know, you appreciate the truth of it. You know it's the word and it bears witness with your spirit. But it's as you continue in the word that you know that truth, and that truth begins to make you free. And you go, yeah, but man, that's really true. That's part of the spiritual growth process. But as you grow, you get skillful in that word of righteousness. That's when the Pavlov dog, shame, guilt, blood, grace of God, grace of God. You're getting skillful. You're getting hard to fool. You're getting hard for the enemy to condemn you. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Why are the righteous bold as a lion? Why? No condemnation. You're saved by grace through faith. Your conscience is cleansed by the blood. Yeah, I know I'm on the spiritual growth chart. It doesn't matter where I am on this chart. These things are true all the time. They're true for the youngest babe in the Lord and the most mature member in the body of Christ. Their consciences are cleansed the same way by the blood of the Lamb. There's no political capital with God for the guy who's been around. None. Blood of the Lamb, one offering for sin forever. We get this settled in our hearts early. This is the kind of stuff that makes us strong. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Because there's another one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But those who are skillful in the word of righteousness can't be devoured. They got their own roar. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Born of the Spirit. Born of God. There are no more sin offerings. There's nothing you can do to get back right with God other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Other than just coming clean and say, Father, I said it, I did it. And just be clear in your own heart. Little tip when it comes to the confessing of sin. The more you clearly confess whatever it is that's bothering you. I mean graphic detail. The more you confess it out, the less it stays up here. The less the enemy has to play on. Get it out in its You might just go that direction, and the Holy Spirit helps you get it out. And it's out. Cross. Cleansing. That thing, that ugly thing, was laid upon him. He bore it. And where our sin abounded, his grace has much more abounded. Not even close. Not a close fight. Just needs us. We just have to tag off on the blood, right? You know, tag team. You tag off. That's your grace. That's your forgiveness. Sacrifices to grow spiritually are not sin offerings. Yeah, you're going to make some sacrifices. You're going to sow to the Spirit. You're going to do some things you don't feel like doing, but you know it's the will of God. God said, forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Okay, Father God, here we go. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to do what you're calling me. I'm going to obey that prompting of the Spirit. I could spend my time doing this, but I'm going to spend my time doing that. Not to go to heaven when I die, but I want to sow to the Spirit because I am going to of the Spirit reap life. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. And it's exciting to experience a power that's greater than my own. And all of a sudden things that had a hold on me don't. I can look past them because of the power of God. That's exciting. That is powerful. Praise God. But it's separate from the forgiveness and the cleansing of my sin. Got to keep him separate. And again, maybe it's just, I'm talking about this, spiritual ego can get in the way. You experience some things, feel some things, and man, the blood keeps you humble. This is why we take communion regularly. It brings us all back together. And we all take it together, regardless of where you are on the spiritual growth chart. Why do we all take it together? It's all the same communion. It's all the same forgiveness. It's all the same cleansing. Get that settled. Praise God in your heart. There are no more sin offerings but the one. Father, we thank you this morning that you sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. Lord, we love you. We want to grow. We want to be conformed more into your image. But Lord, we know that there is a process here that you've perfected us forever, making us born again, but we're also being sanctified. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're growing spiritually. We're being conformed into the image of Christ. There's process here. There are things that are changing in us. We're getting free from things. We understand that there's process. We're excited. But Father, go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for making me a new creation. I am your workmanship. I've been created with good works that you've ordained me to walk in. You're preparing me now for those good works. I'm a child of God. I see it. I believe it. And I pray, Father, that I will see in my heart that if I fall, there's only one way up, the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness and grace. It's not the strength of my spiritual maturity. It's the grace of Jesus Christ from beginning to end, sustaining me as I grow. Thank you for your love. Thank you for sustaining me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Two thoughts to keep in mind as you're living for God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and going for it. I mean, I know that. I love that. I mean, we just came out of a teaching this last year, Bible study about, you know, pursuing personal revival. And there's an all heart, full heart, all in. Man, go all in, all heart. But you maintain your dependence and sense of dependence on the mercy and grace of God. The whole way. Amen. Praise God.